Well, good evening, church. Welcome back to Thomas Village Baptist Church on a great and glorious Sunday evening. It's been a beautiful day. Glad you took the time to be with us, and we appreciate your effort. And I know the Lord appreciates it too, because that's what He expects out of us, is to serve Him. So let's all stand and sing a song. Let's turn page number 581. We've heard the joyful sound, which is Jesus Saves.
Wafted on the rolling tide. Ain't that what it said? All right, check it out. You want me to ask AI? You mean ask AI what wafted means? Good evening, y'all. It's good to see all of you. Tonight we'll be in John 15. Kindly a diving board, more topical. And then we'll be in Matthew chapter 22. And this morning, the theme, I guess you'd say, it was more of a topical sermon than exegetical this morning, but sometimes you need both, a little bit of both, and only Jesus, and we looked at specific things that only Jesus could provide for us. And so tonight, in reverse, we're going to have a little bit of a look at our own lives and see, are we loving only Jesus? Are we loving? Huh?
Thrown away
on a rolling tide. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. They've took out, what was it, for such a worm as I? What is that one? At the cross where I first saw the light. Instead of such a worm, they've changed it to a sinner, such as I. So there'll be like six with weddings coming up. Like I mentioned this morning, we're doing the five love languages, and that basically man, woman, one of those five love languages is the one that you speak. It may be words of affirmation, physical touch, the receiving of gifts, quality time, and then Yep, acts of service. So one of those, you know, like Amy, if I buy her roses, it don't mean nothing. I mean, I might as well just took $50. Well, it's probably close to $100 now, but just dumped it down the drain. But now, wash a load of clothes and sweep the floor and get the dishes done. Man, now she's a happy gal if I'll do that type of stuff. So we're all different, but like I said, we'll be in John chapter 15, and we'll be reading also from the book of Matthew chapter 22. But before we go to that, we do want to tell you here tonight, and those of you that may be watching by Facebook or listening over the radio, that it's good to be with you. We're thankful that you've allowed us into your worship today, and we ask that if you would, come be with us, but also let us pray with you. We all have prayer needs, and we're thankful that God has given us the privilege of prayer, but that He hears our prayers as well. So let us know, and we'll do our best to pray for you. Any words of praise or testimony this evening? Amen. It's good to see you. Good to see you. Anyone else? They did. They did it pretty quick too, didn't they? That's what I was. I know. I told Sister Ernestine, I said, if they dumb enough to hang around town, they might as well just go ahead and get caught. But you know, I get here before daylight, and I'm gonna tell Brother JC, because he had texted us, you know, just after daybreak, I think it was, that they had been an escape and all. And I'm going to tell him I appreciate him not telling me till the sun rose, or I'd have been too scared to stay up here this morning. But I tell you what, it's desperate times, ain't it? Desperate times. It seems like every country in the world has some type of protest or some type of dysfunction, that they're burning something down or rioting in the streets, you know. Any other prayer needs? And we are grateful that they got caught. We'll continue to pray for Brother Danny Roten. He's just having a hard go of it right now, and he needs our prayers, and he needs a touch from the Lord, as well as Sister Sherry does, and Sister Nancy, and Mr. Leonard. We need to continue to pray for homes and those marriages that are being attacked, but specifically the lost that don't know Christ, as we think about the upcoming services on Friday, as we fan the flames. Pray that the Holy Spirit go ahead of us and prepare, and that hearts be touched. Anyone else? We want to remember our Awana Club. Oh, also, Brother Wayne has been admitted, doing some tests on him, some CTs, and I think they had to give a little fluid today. Took a little off before, now they had to add a little back. It's not sure all that's going on, but Sister Tammy was going to be with him this afternoon. Pray for our Vacation Bible School that's coming up. When is Awana graduation? Next week? 21st, okay. Then pray for Eddie and Michelle Bishop, Bridget Bledsoe, Bill Chester, those without Christ, our churches, Suzanne Drawdery, Larry Dishner, Pierce, Snodgrass, and Say family, Rob Grebe, Jimmy Hurd, the Shut-Ins, Melanie Lester, upcoming elections, our lost, Mike McRae, Van Ministry, our nation's leaders, unspoken request, Youth Revival, Joe Robinette, Rick Sawyers, Matt Smith, Fred and Shirley Sullivan, Joel Thompson, those that are traveling, and Larry and Jan Williams. Any others that we need to add tonight? All right. I'm going to ask Brother Paul, if he would, to lead us in a word of prayer. If you feel led to come to the altar, you're more than welcome to come. But also invite the Holy Spirit to be with us, if you would, Brother Paul. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. Again, we'll be in John 15 and Matthew chapter 22. Is that one of the study guides right there? This way I'll just make sure I'm doing it right. All righty. All right. Like I said, kindly getting ready with between Brother John and Sister Lexi, and then the Bledsoe, what's Dakota's last name? Hartsock wedding coming up, and then another friend down in Georgia and one up here that's asking to be married. There's kindly marriage all over the place, and just the idea of we're in a relationship with God. He is the Christ is the groom. We are the bride. He's coming back to get us. I mean, there's the parallel as we look at it, and I think that it's through that relationship, husband and wife, as we see that it is the second established relationship in all of creation outside of the relationship that humanity has with our Creator. It's the fundamental building block of a stable society. And we see right now that marriage is being ripped apart, redefined. Gender is being thrown up. Gender and sexuality are two different things now. I mean, it is pitiful at the world we're living in. I mean, literally, we're getting to a place where you don't know what is up and what is down. The idea of everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes from the Old Testament is what we're living in. But as we think about that, then it's more important that we take time to look at our commitment to Jesus. And not just by looking at ourselves compared to those around us, but the way that the Bible and Christ has laid it out for us to do. Because like I talked this morning, there are a lot of ways, different beliefs and different theology that sound good at the top of it, but once you dig into it a little bit, it can be a little dangerous and devastating. So tonight we're going to look at the how am I doing loving on Christ? What kind of spouse or what kind of bride are we? So are you in John chapter 15? All righty, let's look at verse 10. This is Jesus, and remember, it's they've been in the upper room. They're I don't know if they're going, fixing to go through the vineyard to Gethsemane or yeah, matter of fact, I do believe that it's probably he's passing through, but listen to what he says. Verse 10 of John 15, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than someone lay down a life for their friends. So we see that Jesus is saying, I want you to do for me, or I'm expecting you to do for me, the same thing that I have done for my Father. Remember the first point this morning, that only Jesus could leave the perfect example of a life that needs to be lived. And we looked at the idea of love, forgiveness, service, and sacrifice. And Jesus, remember we talked about it, I think it was Wednesday night maybe, or at least last Sunday night, Christ will not accept secondhand love, right? He has to be number one. That's what he says. That's what he says. He'd go all the way back to the Old Testament. I'll have no other gods before me, right? That's the number one. And Christ Jesus, he wants to be in our life as the number one, supreme, or else he's not there, one or the other. You know, and that's what he's asked for us. That's why he's asked us to surrender our life, to give our lives over to him, to take up our cross daily, to sacrifice to him. And then he goes on to say that he lays down his life, and so he's expecting the same from us. And it lines up straight with what we studied Wednesday night. Turn over to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Remember, this is when Jesus is getting down to the end of his ministry. He's kindly pushing the the envelope, you might say. He's not letting it be known that he is the Christ. You know, he's not as holding it back. Are you in Matthew chapter 22? All right, look in verse 35. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And remember, the idea of greatest means superior, that it's the highest in importance. It's the greatest in significance. I mean, it is the peak. But then Jesus goes on to say there in Matthew 22:39, and a second is like to it, or there's another one that's linked very close to the greatest. It may not be the superior, but it's way up there. He says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all of the law. And remember, you can break down the Ten Commandments. The first four, how we're to relate to God, how we're to make sure that he is superior in our lives, that he sits on the throne. And then the next six, they're how we relate to one another as mankind. And so tonight, as we think about this, and we look at these things, I think that the idea of love, because, you know, there's moral people in this world that are going to bust hell wide open, right? They'll never say a dirty word. They'll never cheat on their wife. Their taxes will be done to the penny. And everything outwardly will look like a Judeo-Christian biblical lifestyle. But yet there's no relationship with Christ, and they could care less about the cross. They could care less about the resurrection. And really, there's going to be some whose lifestyle may not look all that great, but yet they're going to spend an eternity with Christ. Why? Because the Bible says that the Lord looks on the heart. He looks on the motive. He looks on the genuineness. And so as we think about this, as loving on Christ, that's what he said, love God first and love your neighbor second. Those are the two. All of the law. Remember, there was 600 and something, 300 and something do's, 300 and something don'ts, and overall there were 600 and some odd things that were required. The first one, I think, that you've got tonight looks like is this. You're surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Have you surrendered to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Look at John 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, no one thing was created that has been created. And then in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, it says, and when Jesus was baptized, and here we see, as we talked about the Jesus only this morning, this is a refute to the idea that modalism, or that Jesus is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Notice it says, after Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove. There's the affirmation of the Father and the Son. This is my Son. He has my approval. This is the one. This is the anointed one. This is the Messiah that I've been promising. And notice, we talked about it this morning, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I listen to some men that say right now, and many of them, I put a lot of stock in them, and that one of the most deadliest thing in the past 30 years has been the sinner's prayer. That people could just sit there and be told that you can get out of hell if you'll just say this prayer. And never have to go back to church, never have to think about it again. Now, I you know, God does what God does, right? He's in control. But I will say, hey, if I wanted just to get some people just laid back, that would be the way to do it, you know. It's not about the words you say, it's about the commitment you make. And like we talked about, there's a lot of people that have prayed the sinner's prayer. And I believe they sit in a church, many sit in the church most Sunday mornings. But that it's been that one-time experience. Never again has it affected their life. The only other time they're expecting it to affect their life again is when life is over and they get to go to heaven. There's no desire to grow in Christ. I mean, and like I said, you know, it tells us over in 1 Corinthians chapter or 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, I promise you this. I don't even look the same no more, but I physically, the body's the same, but there's been a different desire created in me from the day that I got saved. I mean, the wants and the people I wanted to be around and the lifestyle I wanted to live, I'm not saying that I don't fail or I don't fall, that I'm perfect, but that's not the same individual. I mean, back when I was, 20-year-old, 19-year-old, In my mind, anything but preaching is what I wanted to do the rest of my life. Now, at this point in my life, I don't know what I would do without it. You see how that, I mean, that is a total opposite. Do you know that 17-year-old me would beat me up for marrying a principal? I mean, that's just, it's the completely opposite life that I ever expected to live. But that's how funny God is, you know? I mean, he just puts you together and gives you the life that you need. And then gives you the love for that life. It's amazing. But today, are we loving? Only Jesus can give us what we need, the vital things in our lives, that we can have eternal life, that we can have the peace of God, that we can have the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling with us. But are we giving him our life? Have we surrendered to him? You know, we're living in a day where the idea of submission in marriage is not usually brought up. That the wife is to submit. Basically, all that means is the wife is to play the role of the wife and the man is to play the role of the husband. It's not that discriminatory. But we as men, are we submitting to Christ Jesus as the head of the church? Allowing him to be our Lord and our Savior? I mean, it's what he calls us to do. Any thoughts on the idea of surrendering? If you notice, it's just a yes or no. There's not a maybe, might not. I mean, you are or either you ain't. The next one is one that we have that we're studying. This was our chapter today, wasn't it? Words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. Words of affirmation are an expression that renders support. It emphasizes the value of your spouse or the one that you love, how important they are in your life. You know, one of them, what was one of them today? Oh, you look great in that dress. Or, man, you're the best potato maker that's ever been. I mean, I don't think nobody can make a potato like you can make a potato. You know, just building up in their head. There's aspects of your partner that benefit your life. They make your life, what they do, the experience, the way that they affect you makes your life better. And they're worth you admitting it with your mouth. And you know what? As a husband and a wife, if you don't make it a goal to do that, you ain't gonna do it. You're not gonna tell your wife, man, you look good in that dress, unless you think, okay, I'm gonna, because we've not did it the past, 5 weeks? Why would we do it on the 6th week, right? And the same thing is true with Christ. Are we practicing giving words of affirmation to him? Here's the thing, that number one, he's worthy of it, right? Every day he's been faithful to me. You ever had a day where he didn't supply oxygen? Or he hadn't allowed food to be there? That's all because of Jesus. It's all because of his love for us. But yet, we get to a point that we just expect it, right? We expect to make it home from work. We expect to lay down at night and to get up the next morning, but there's going to be one night that we lay down and we ain't going to get back up. And that'll be a doorway into our better life. But while we're still here, Isaiah 25:1, Yahweh, you are my God, and I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have accomplished wonders, plans formed a long time ago with perfection, or with perfect faithfulness. I will extol thee, or I'm going to make much of you. I'm going to build you up. Simon Peter said in John chapter 6, verses 68 and 69, Lord, who will we go to? You have the words of eternal life. That's when he was teaching about that he was the bread of life. And that they would, basically, they thought he was teaching cannibalism, Jesus was. And some said that they went away. And Jesus went to the apostles and said, "Are you going to leave as well?" And Peter was like, "They ain't nowhere I can go. You're the only thing that has what I need. You're vitally important. Your truth is vitally important in my life." And then remember, as he rode into Jerusalem on the day of Palm Sunday, remember, I believe it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees told him, said, "Get these people to shut up," as they were singing, "Hallelujah, hail, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." You remember what Jesus said? He says, "If I tell them to shut up, the rocks is going to do it." I mean, wouldn't it be bad to think that there's a rock or a stone out there that's God's going to say, "I think it'll do a better job than Brian"? I mean, woo, I know I don't sing that great, but man, I think I can do better than a Petra, a stone. All right, any thoughts on the words of affirmation? How are you doing about just letting God know verbally, or Christ know verbally? The next thing is personal or quality time. Personal or quality time. That book we were studying says that you can't sit on the couch and watch TV and count that as personal quality time. That just don't happen. But it's time given to the other person of undivided. Whatever it is they need, you give that time to them. Sometimes it might be, you know, just sitting there talking over a cup of coffee. Other times it might be going out to the mall or doing this or that. You investing yourself into them. But while we understand it with our spouse, the same is true for our Creator. He expects, you remember all the way back in Genesis, what would He do in the evening with Adam and with Eve? In the cool of the day, He would come and He would spend time. I mean, that's why He created us, to have that fellowship. But yet, we miss out on that. We miss out on allowing Him to speak to us. And you know, even with prayer time most of the time is Him speaking to me instead of us going back to Him. Whether it be through meditation and the person of the Holy Spirit just confirming things. And maybe most of the time, if He's going to speak, I believe He'll do it through confirmation of what you read in Scripture. But He can speak whatever way He wants to. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, listen, or 16. "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So you see, it ties back with the words of affirmation, doesn't it? If you take the time to spend time with Him, or with, even with your spouse, then what? You're gonna say words that build up. You're gonna say words that are encouraging. So how about that? 1 through 10. How you doing on quality time with your Savior? Then there's acts of service. Something you do for your partner, you know that they would appreciate, they would enjoy, or it relieves them of a burden. They are act of service. And remember, Jesus came not to be served, but to be a servant. He is the example of service, as He's called us to serve Him and to serve the Father by serving others. Romans 12, 5 and 7. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And we all have these gifts. And we, as the Holy Spirit dwells within us, we are given these gifts so that we can benefit others. Let me ask you this. Do you ever see an apple tree eating an apple? No. The brother Paul, I think, was that told me this. But if you see an apple tree eating an apple, what's wrong? Something wrong, right? I mean, we are in another realm, right? I mean, the gifts that we've been given, now we are blessed in them. We're blessed in them. But we're not to consume our own fruits. The fruits are for those around us. The gifts are for those around us through service. And the same is true. I mean, and so as we serve others, that is loving on Christ. That's how we love. That's how, but remember he said, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you've done what? You've done it unto me. And what did he say? Sometimes you entertain angels unaware. I mean, it is the acts of service that he really likes. He really enjoys. Ephesians, it says that we have been, you know, for by grace are ye saved. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 8. This not of works or of yourself, lest you should boast. But it goes on to say that when Christ saved us, he saved us to what? Unto good works. Not by good works. We're not, see, he doesn't save us by those works we perform, but he saves us for those works so that others may be benefited. Number 5, the giving of gifts. If you're lagging in that, I'm willing to receive tonight, okay? If you just need to give a few gifts, I'm here to suffer for it. No. It means to show favor. To show favor, honor, love, by giving an object to someone. You know, like I said, Amy, get her flowers or anything like that. It won't do anything, but if I tried to buy a vacuum, it'd be about the same as giving. She just doesn't really care. I mean, if she wants it, she's going to go get it. She'll save up the money and whatever. But there's others that you can give something to them, and it just makes their whole day. I mean, and it doesn't have to be something expensive or anything like that. It's just about the investment that you're making. What do you give a person that has everything? Well, I mean, you could. How about your tithe? I mean, are we faithful in giving our tithes to the Lord? We committed. How about giving to others? And it may not be money. It may be time and effort that they need out of you. They might just need you to be there or to listen, to spend time on the phone with them or swing by. Then there's at those acts of service. You know, as our men are building the ramps and stuff like that. Y'all sent out the Valentine's baskets, I believe. What was the last thing? Easter, that was it, the Easter baskets. I mean, you know that was a service, a ministry to someone that they don't get any other time, and that just affected them. So there are many ways for us to love on Jesus, but a lot of them are by us loving on others, by expressing that love. And then the last one is this, physical touch, making contact. Now, I know we're post-COVID, and everybody's got the cooties, and we don't want to get no sicknesses again. But, you know, some people need a hug. Some people need you to shake their hand. Some people will never shake your hand again. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. But I believe the Lord will let you know when. I'll never forget one of the last times I seen Sister Sally. She was in that Encompass, I think it was, and I went up there, and I'd seen her the day before, and she wanted something to read. She wanted a Bible, and she wanted some type of workbook, and so I got her a Bible. We had an Esther workbook down there, and I took it up there to her, and I got in there the second day, and she was supposed to be in a physical therapy, and she wasn't there, and I thought, well, I'm going to get as much time with her as I can right here. And it's been in there about 5 or 10 minutes, and I looked down by her leg, and there was this barf bag sitting right there by her bed. And I said, you been sick? Something hit you wrong this morning? She said, oh, I've had an upset stomach. I've been vomiting all morning. They think I got COVID. And I done been sitting in there 10 minutes, and I'm like, well, I wish you'd have told me that before I'd been in. But then I was like, well, I done been here now. I mean, and I've been more than 6 feet close to you. But, you know, God knew what she needed there. And God will take care of us. I mean, I think some of the stuff that's coming out about our nation and these different lettered so-called protections we have, it just shows us we can't trust nobody. And there ain't nobody looking out for us except for the Lord. And if he don't do it, there ain't no hope for us, right? And so as we think about only Jesus loves us with the love that can change our eternity. Only Jesus is our example. Only Jesus intercedes and mediates for us. Only Jesus gives us what no one else can give us. And so in return, are we only loving on Jesus the way that he wants to be loved? And I want you to think about this. He created every being that is, every man, woman, boy, or girl, but you can love him in a way that nobody else ever will. Because you and him have a relationship that no one else can ever have with him. Any thoughts tonight before we close? I do ask you to be praying. I'm having some issues with my sciatic nerve and issues with my legs. So be praying there. All right. Brother John, would you close us out in a word of prayer tonight? Amen. God bless.